Well, after the message we preached Sunday, I've got a question. Nobody has to answer it, of course. It's one of the questions, maybe. As a preacher, you don't want people to answer because it can sometimes maybe discourage you. But this week, are you planning to fail? Are you planning to succeed? What I mean by that, are we trusting in the Lord, expecting Him to keep His promises, or are we expecting, as it were, I remember a saying that when you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Have you ever heard that? Well, the beauty of being a Christian is that the Lord is in control, and He sees the future, and sometimes He chooses to keep most of the time, He chooses to keep the future, as it were, hidden from us. But that does not mean that He Himself doesn't know what we will face. And that's why it's vitally important that we have a relationship with the Lord in such a way that those small, as it were, dealings of one's heart. You know, obviously there's nobody, when you were first convicted, I don't know, can you remember the first time that you ever felt Holy Ghost conviction when the Lord was speaking to you? There was no doubt about it, was there? You might not realize, fully comprehended, that it was the Holy Spirit. But you knew something was wrong. You had, at least with me, I had a big old lump in my throat. I felt as if I'd got caught doing the greatest crime as a child, right in the midst of it. And but the Lord don't always deal with us that way, especially as we become a Christian. Sometimes it's just in the passing of a word spoken by a sinner that if we're not in tune with the Lord, we miss out on. So I would hope that we are planning, as it were, to trust in the Lord. Elsewise, we'll be planning to fail. But tonight we're going to read in the 13th chapter of Luke, the 34th verse. Sometimes you can read the same account in two different places in the Gospels, and it'll be worded just a little bit slight, just a little bit different. And sometimes it expounds in on a thought in one particular chapter or in one particular book more so than the other one. But then I'm amazed at how many of these places that they're exact word for word. And I don't know why that is, but I know that when I find these places where they are exact word for word, that this must have been such a profound statement that through the dealings of the Holy Spirit, because we know that every one of these words that's in the Bible is inspired by the Holy Spirit and was spoken by God through men. But it amazes me that in certain instances that those very words are the same. Now we're going to read the account, as it were, in the 13th chapter of Luke. It says in the 34th verse, it says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killeth the prophets, and stoneth them that are sent unto thee, how oft would I have gathered thy children together, as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time come when ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." Now this here is gives us a picture of how the Lord looked at Jerusalem. He said, "How oft would I have gathered thee?" I think that the Lord is speaking about not only of when He was on this earth, but I think He was speaking more so of the relationship between the Heavenly Father and the children of Israel throughout the whole Old Testament, even up into the point where Jesus Christ was here and He looked over this city. You know, I've thought about it many a time. that when on the day of creation, when the Lord began to, as it were, speak everything into existence, that He took nothing and He created all that we see, and He formed a little hill, and He knew right then at the beginning, as we would know it of time, that there was going to be one day, there was going to be a city. That city's name was going to be called Jerusalem. That it was going to be built by a heathen people. Then that there was going to be a people that were no people. That the Lord led, as it were, to the nations of to the nation of Egypt, and raised them up a great and a mighty people. That He would lead them through the wilderness. And that one day, that these children that were called by His name would have a king. And His name would be David, and that He would come within this city, and it would be called the City of David. I reckon if you're a Jew, that there would no doubt not be, as it were, a greater word or a greater name for a city than to have a city named after one of the mightiest kings in the history of your nation. But yet God, on that day of creation, knew that it was much better. It was a more special place than just to hang an earthly king's name on it, when He knew before the grass even began, as it were, to grow on that hilltop, that this would be a place that His Son would stand, and that He would lament over the simple fact that He had made a way, that God Himself longed to have a relationship with His people. How often I've gathered you as a hen doth her brood. I think about that. I'm thankful that the Lord many a time done just that for Darrell Hensley. Oh, we can remember my grandfather preaching this very thing. I reckon any verse in the Bible, this is one of the many that he would quote when he preached. And I can remember as a kid seeing that old hen clucking and calling those chicks in when there was some danger from above. I think to myself, oh, what a pretty picture. But yeah, little did I know that through hearing those words from my grandfather, that the Lord was doing that very same thing for me. He's done that same thing for literally thousands upon thousands. But there are some that would listen, and then there are some that would not. But it is the will of our Heavenly Father that all would come. That's why He sent His only begotten Son. Listen to me now. He could have made us, as it were, communists, so that we could be forced to work and to do what we must do for the good of the common people, as they would say in the Communist Manifesto. But my God, He wanted a perfect race. He wanted a race. Not coerced, not forced by man, but just like that little bird. Have you ever thought about it? Some might think, well, a bird, don't have a choice about it. He just sings. I'm afraid why that bird sings. It's because he's got a lot of better, a lot more sense than me and you. Oh, he heard about it. My wife was watching that television show about a woman. Woman that was so overweight that she had several miscarriages. They contributed to the fact that she was overweight. Well, she lost all this weight. And I told my wife, isn't it just the nature of man? Here's a woman that is in great health now. And no doubt,
down instead of looking at her reflection and seeing somebody that looks a lot healthier than when just a week prior to that. She's no doubt thinking about the fact that she's not had any children. Have you ever seen all these people with everything that they could possibly need, and yet they want more? But that little bird is content to sing just because the sun rose this morning. It's content to sing because God placed upon the ground a little seed that my eye cannot see. I watch them little snowbirds, and there they go through the underbrush and hopping up and down. We was beating birds this winter, but still ears. And the snowbird, you know, they won't get up in a feeder, whether it's swinging or whether it's sitting still. They say if you want to feed them snowbirds, you got to throw the food on the ground. And I found occasionally one or two that would be there. But even when the ground was bare, and you couldn't see nothing, and you knew right there in our yard, because of mowing, there they would be, just so content to sing and peck around in our yard. Yard ain't very big, and probably when you consider the square footage of our yard to the ratio of our children, we've got our yard exhibits a lot of traffic, and they wore a path around the house. And when I this winter, I'd see them out there pecking at food, and they was getting food. But yet it would be particles so small that I couldn't see. You know, if it was man out there, he'd be complaining, wouldn't he? That's the way it was for the children of Israel out in the wilderness when it come to gathering that manna. But the Lord said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not." You know, the Lord, He provided us with a Savior. He is desirous to hear a praise from our lips. That is not forced, but it is freely given. He is so desirous of that He would send His Son to a people that would reject Him and that would kill Him simply because He wanted to make a way for me and you. So then, if we have this knowledge that the Lord is desirous to hear a perfect praise from the lips of His children, why is it that so often times we keep our mouths shut? You know, when with my children today, we come in the house, and I don't know where they got it, but Riley had a stick about this long, maybe a foot and a half long, and it had some fish bar wrapped around the end of it. And the first thing I seen, when I seen that, and it had some sharp, you know how wire pokes out and whatnot, first thing I thought of was one of those maces in medieval times. You know, a club with the, and I thought, my goodness, I said, "Riley, give me that glove." He said, "It ain't a club." That wasn't a point. But when I seen that, all I could think about is them using it for a club, playing around, beating on something that they shouldn't, like one of their siblings. And I took it, but you know, something so simple, and I don't know where they got it. I probably don't want to know. Something so simple they can use as a toy. Have you ever given a child, and I'm not talking about our spoiled kids today, but have you ever gave a child some gift? I can remember And I believe it was duct tape. Yes. I can remember a camping trip. Yes. That I took when I was a little boy. Yes. And we went back there in behind waves. Yes. You all was there too. Yes. And Trent, you made me a spear. Yes. And you cut this straight piece of stick. Yes. And you cut all the bark off of it and you sharpened it on the end. Yes. But what made it so special, yes, and I believe it was duct tape, and if it wasn't duct tape, it was electrical tape. But right there in the middle of it, he put some tape. But right there where you'd want to cut a hole in, put a fling in. And I thought that was the greatest thing. And I don't know if Trent realized that by the expression on my face or not. But something so simple brought me the greatest joy. And yet we know as Christians that what the Lord is desirous of us is that when troubles come, that we would be as that chick that runs to the hill. Might we run to the Father? Might we communicate to Him? Just like that chick peeps to its mother, and He would gather us, as it were, underneath the wing, in the fold of safety. And there are those that would not. Why is it? I think this is a beautiful illustration of a hen gathering chicks. But that there are some that would not, and they would not because they're chicken. See, this is a play on words. God gives us an illustration of Him being a hen. And He would have us gather together under His wing for protection. But there are so many men today that won't do it because they're chicken. If only they would realize that a chick's place when danger comes is under the wing of his mother. I can remember when we was at 1716, that was a house, that was the address of it. And we had a Cadillac of a chicken house, Trent built it. And we used a sliding glass. We ain't had a chicken house as nice as that since then, Trent. Trent made one over at his house, but I'll tell you, Trent, it ain't as good as that one. And it was just a perfect place. There was a shade tree there. And in the summertime, it was actually built. It was built right next to this tree, and it had southern exposure. And in the summertime, the leaves would come on this tree, so that the sun wouldn't shine into the chicken house where we had sliding glass doors, as it were. But in the wintertime, when the leaves were off the tree, it would allow the southern sun to shine into that chicken house. And you'd go in there, and my dad was the one that fretted up like he frets over everything there and wouldn't worry at all. But my dad, I think he might have had a thermometer in there to regulate the temperature. And he'd go and in the summertime or in the wintertime, you'd go in there and it'd actually be hot in there. And he'd have the door sliding because it slid. We had a chicken house, and not only did we use a patio sliding glass doors, but they actually slid in the chicken house. It was really a nice thing. But anyhow, he'd have that door cracked open because it'd get too hot on him. And you know, I can remember, we had those, they weren't about Dorfingtons, what were they? They were called, I'll think about it here, Golden Comets, that's right. They were a chicken that their smarts had been bred out of them, and they wouldn't sit on eggs. They wouldn't even molt. You had to put them in you had to force them into a molt. But anyhow, my dad, just like you all know how he is, you know, I can't remember how many we had, but we had plenty. But he wanted to set some eggs under a hen, and none of them was set. And I got me a game hand down the road back there, we let her run loose out of the yard, and Daddy began to put those golden comet eggs underneath her, and you won't get a golden comet because they're a cross. So if you use a golden comet rooster on golden comet hens, you get something other than a golden comet because they're a cross. But anyhow, to make a long story short, whatever that chicken hatched, they were a lot bigger than her own. But she, it could be a piece of straw, it could be a Walmart bag or something that would flutter, or it'd be a bird of any kind. And she'd just squall, and she would lay flat like it were on the ground, and she was colored up nice, she blended right in, and she'd spread those wings out, and here come the little chicks. And I think she even died, and she'd cluck, and she'd scratch around and want them to eat right there. And I think sometimes she just done it because maybe she struggled with a low self-esteem. Because it could be anything fluttering up. And the boy, they'd all come running. They'd start getting out there. You could take your hanky out and grab your bomb, and they'd all come running again. But I got a picture. It was so funny. As they got over, and she'd stretch out, they'd all run underneath there and almost lift her off the ground. You know what? Oh, why? She was telling them there was danger. But they didn't look up and say, "Well, Mama, that ain't nothing but a Walmart bag." They didn't look out where at all, but they got their eyes. Oh, Mama, and they come around in. That's what the Lord would have me and you do. But what do? We look all around us and say, that ain't no hawk. That's a Walmart bag. But she's squalling because of the cat. And that's coming from the other direction. Isn't it a wonderful blessing to know that Daryl can lose everything in this life and be considered, as it were, worthless in the eyes of men, and that yet I can still lift up my voice and give God a perfect praise, and it can bring Him great joy. Do you want to do that? Is that your desire today? Well, the first place we can start is, instead of thinking about all the negative things that sometimes we dwell on, is to rejoice and thank God that He's going to work them out. We don't have to know the details. Can't remember who we was talking to my wife about something. And my wife is guilty of it as I am. Sometimes we just say, "Yeah, but you know what's going to happen." But let's face it, we don't know the future. We don't have the answer. If I don't have the answer to my own problems, I probably sure don't have the answer for my neighbors. Other than to say the answer that we have is Christ Jesus. But that's kind of not fair, is it? Because we want to know how He's going to do it. But a lot of times, the Lion of Judah chooses to protect us as a hen would. And all we have to do is look to Him. Let's get some song to sing. It says here, "Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And verily, I say unto you, you shall not see me until the time come when you shall say, 'Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord.'" It's so sad to realize that those that would choose not to give the Lord blessing
choose not to bless His name in this life. We'll bless Him. Bless His name in the life to come. Now that's something that we ourselves cannot comprehend. That if a man would not choose to bless the name of the Lord in this present life, he's going to bless him when the Lord damns his soul to hell. We don't understand, or can we comprehend, the beauty of Christ Jesus. I can remember when I was dating my wife. I don't really remember. I guess if I thought on it hard enough, I'll remember why I was mad at her. But I thought this. Little did I know how good of a wife she'd make. But at the time, I thought, I'm just wasting my time. And I broke up with her, if you want to call it that. I thought, well, I'm through with her and through with women in general. I just go off in the mountains somewhere and wash my face in a frying pan. And I can remember that I was going to, I wanted to act Christ-like and all, but I wasn't even going to smile at her when I seen her next time. And I don't know if I did or not, but all I remember, and I don't think this, maybe she did, you'll have to ask her after service, if she tried to look extra pretty that week after we broke up. You know, when she walked into church, if I hadn't have been so conscious of not saying nothing or acting like I noticed anything, I'd have audibly said, "My, she's pretty." You know why? Because I loved her, but because she's pretty too. Now you might say that's because I'm looking through eyes of love, but I'd say it's because you don't know what good looks are. So you would disagree with me. But anyhow, I truly believe that there are sinners that when they see Christ Jesus, one that they have cursed, one that they have hated, as they are being bound and cast into hell, all they'll be able to think of is, "My, he's so beautiful. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." Can you imagine? Oh, I don't even want to take my mind there, and I'm thankful I'll never have to face that. But to think of it, as damnation is being placed upon you, as you're being sentenced to it. We live in a culture that is so self-absorbed in their own wants and desires. But I think if that's the case in everything you've ever done, I think at that moment, you will truly be overcome by His beauty. And we'll offer up, as it were, a voice of praise. And the Bible says, "Say amen to your own condemnation." Go ahead. Sometimes I think we get so busy, we don't really think of just how beautiful the Lord is. But it would all do us well to meditate upon Him. And then begin to communicate to Him that though we have not seen Him with these fleshly eyes, to see the workings in our life and all that He's done, truly, Lord, You are beautiful beyond words, beyond my imagination. And that we might bless the name of the Lord this day. And that we might see Him for who He is. And that our house might be full and not left desolate. Come underneath the wing of an Almighty God.